What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 out in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? This is God's word. The school year has started, and there are so many traditions that go along with a new school year. And you see it year after year, the same thing, different kids, same thing. You see the little ones running out that back door like they're shot out of a rocket, okay? And they're running toward the playground, just eager to get out there and stretch and play with one another. You see, year after year, the orderly assembling of those students on Friday morning for chapel as they come in, file in, and get in their right pew, get the hymnal ready. The older ones help the younger ones. And then every day, at the end of the day, there's a prayer led by an eighth grade student. And it's broadcast over the speakers throughout the whole building. Another tradition, and this is true every school year, is the lost and found bucket. Pretty empty at this point, but as we make our way through the first weeks and the changing of the seasons and weather and the upcoming soccer season, that lost and found bucket will begin to fill up. In that bucket are items that were lost by their owner, usually by accident, forgetfulness, something else came up, but lost nevertheless. The item has been lost by the owner, and they may not even be aware that they don't have it anymore. In the meantime, someone other than the owner has found the item and placed it in a convenient, designated place that's easy to find, hoping that the original owner will also find what they have found. Usually, the students don't go rummaging through the lost and found bucket unless they think or they hope that they have a missing item in there. If that is the case, the owner has realized that something's missing. They know where to go to find it, potentially, hoping that someone else has found it and put it there. If they look through the bucket and don't find their item, that can be distressing. You're right where you were. But if they rummage through the bucket and they find that tank top or that shin guard or whatever the case might be, if they find it, then there is a lot of great gratitude and satisfaction. And actually, it's shared among the whole family. So when the student comes home, "Mom, look, I found it." Yeah, we're all happy, okay? That money wasn't wasted, and you found what you thought was gone forever. In chapel, we sang a hymn dealing with baptism. Every year we go through the small catechism, and this is my favorite year because we look at the fourth chief part, the sacrament of holy baptism. And so we sang a hymn written by the chief hymn writer of the Lutheran Church, Paul Gerhard, and it goes like this. And in the second verse, he sings of the dark spiritual condition that all of us face by nature. If we were left to ourselves, out in the dark, out in the cold, if God did not, through baptism, intervene to seek and to save the lost. You were before your day of birth, indeed, from your conception, condemned and lost with all the earth, none good without exception. For like your parents, flesh and blood, turned inward from the highest good, you constantly denied him. None of the items in the lost and found bucket lost themselves. But that is a good way to describe our spiritual condition. We have lost ourselves in our sin, in Adam's sin. We have become estranged from God. Colossians 1 puts it this way: once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Or as the hymn puts it, you constantly denied him. Since we were turned inward from the highest good, we found our good, our joy, our hope, our life in goods and not in God. The reality of our predicament, though, goes much deeper still. We just scratched the surface. October 22nd, 1989, was the day that Jacob Wetterling was lost. That is what I mean when I say lost. every unbaptized person. And that's every one of us. When we come into this world, none of us are come into the world baptized, part of God's family. Every unbaptized person, or those who deny their baptism or don't live in it, the temptation is there for every one of us. He who stands, take heed, lest he fall out of and away from his baptism. It's not simply that the fallen human nature has lost itself in the darkness of sin. There is a non-human, dark, clutching power at work that has torn us away and leads us away. And we follow. We have succumbed. So instead of following Christ, our common human nature has become enthralled to the devil. And there would be no way out. Instead of taking up the cross and in that burden find freedom, we have become entranced by the one who means us harm and by the things that can only give, in the end, death. Isaiah says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray." We are responsible for this. And we have a fallen human condition and nature throughout life. But Jesus goes further. He says, it's not just that, but the wolf, there's a wolf, and he comes to steal and kill and destroy. The Garden of Eden shows us both of these things and how they come together and bring ruin, nothing but ruin. Adam and Eve fell to the voice of the tempter. He was that dark, non-human power that was coming to destroy, steal, and kill. And they were willing accomplices of their own destruction and ruin, and it has come to us today. Adam and Eve were unwilling to hold fast to the word of God, but they became willing accomplices in their own ruin. We were unable to will our way out of the predicament into which we were born. Only God can bring rescue, and only God can grant repentance. Jesus' parable says that the shepherd lost his sheep, one of them. And if Jesus is the shepherd here, that doesn't look too good on his record. He lost a sheep. And then Jesus continues and says, he leaves the 99 out in the open country and goes after the one. That's reckless. The lost and found bucket tells us that an owner has lost one of their items. But that's a parable and that's an object lesson. They can't cover, by definition, they can't cover the whole truth. They just cover one important part of it. The truth is that God did not lose human beings. We lost ourselves. And the devil tore us away, dragged us away, and led us away, and we followed him. Only God can bring repentance. Only God can bring rescue. So God promised. He spoke up. He spoke his word, and he said, I will send a Savior to rescue you. He will crush the devil's head. Jesus came as that good shepherd, looking for the sheep that had been lost and were dragged off by the wolf. He laid down his life to pay for our lives, and then he took his life up again that he might feed us, care for us, defend us, and be our God. There's room for repentance, and I mean now, and I mean today. The Jesus who brought rescue in his death and resurrection is the only one who can grant to you repentance and life from death, turning your mourning into dancing. Jesus is the one who welcomes sinners. And he proves it by eating in front of everybody with them. Jesus is at the meal. And for him to be at the meal, it means he is at the head of the table. And this is not just some kind of eating of food with no conversation, no talking. Jesus is at the head of the table, welcoming sinners and teaching them. And Jesus is at the head of the table, welcoming sinners, teaching them about the kingdom of God, and eating with them. More than that, providing himself as food and drink. Jesus at the meal. He's at the head of the table. It means that he's teaching the truth, which pushes away all the lies, the lies we tell ourselves, the lies the devil insinuates, the lies of the world around us, which keeps repeating them over and over again so that as world, it can have its wealth and fame and power and glory. That's why there's all these lies circulating. Sometimes at the meal, even churches succumb. And they allow lies to have a place. That's not true at the banquet of Jesus Christ. He is at the head of the table. He is teacher. And he speaks the truth. Through repentance, coming from him, you know what you were. A poor, lost, in the fullest sense, sinner. Through baptism, you know who you are, a child of the Heavenly Father, whom he will always receive. And that is proved over and over again every time the glad tidings of the gospel come into your ears. You are a child of God. Through the holy sacrament of this supper, you know where you are. You're where you should be, being taught the truth by Jesus' word, being with your family. Jacob Wetterling was not where he was supposed to be, at the dinner table with mom and dad. That is the place. But in this sacrament, you know where you are. You are in the presence of Jesus at the foretaste of the feast to come. And through God's promise, you know where you are going, to the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. You know, when a lost item, that shin guard or sweater or whatever, is retrieved, gratitude on the part of the owner and the whole family reverberates. You know, if Jacob Wetterling had been discovered, found, there would have been joy, and not just for that family, for that community, for this state, for parents who might be fearful, there would have been great joy. It was not to be. The only hope that could be found in grief like that is the fact that that boy was baptized. That is all there is. Jesus had him baptized. Jesus died for him and rose again and for you and me. And Jesus never led him away. Jesus always led him in, into the place where he should be, next to him. There is joy over the repentance that God liberally bestows. There's joy in being welcomed by the Savior, even though I'm a sinner. There's joy in being found by him in strange places. In that parable, God's reputation takes a hit. You lost a sheep. You left the 99 and went after the one. But that's all pointing to the fact that God is going to be found in strange places because he wants to find sinners. And so there he is found on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying. Is that God? Well, that's where he finds sinners, buried in a tomb. God's reputation takes a hit, but he will go wherever it takes to find sinners. And there they are. But that tomb is empty. He is not there. He leads us forward in triumphal procession. Jesus, the Lord, is risen from the dead, and now he is found in the font because he wants to find sinners there. Just lowly, ordinary water, but God doesn't mind. He wants to find us to seek and to save the lost. There is joy in being found by him and being found in him to live. There is joy in the fellowship with other repentant sinners. What joy when there is a return, a coming back, a humbling of oneself, a full and confident trust in God and his word alone. That's the Christian life. Joy in that kind of fellowship. Joy in being able to sing and confess the one true God, who has rescued us, granted us repentance, set us free from the guilt of sin, and promised to free us from the tyranny of sin, death, and devil. He will do it in his glorious coming on the last day. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bring mercy, Good Shepherd. Amen. We sing and confess the truth of who God is in the words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,